Nowadays, robots are everywhere. It's not just a wave of the future. I mean, look around. Robots build cars. They deliver things to your house. Not to mention, there's a growing importance for unpiloted vehicles, UAVs, drones, or driverless cars. So it should be apparent that learning about robotics has a number of important learning outcomes, not just learning about coding, learning about mechanics, learning about engineering and science, but also learning about the kinds of skills and technologies that will benefit students in the future. Well, if you're a longtime member of the EdTech Club, you'll know that way back in episode 2, we spoke with a group of educators here at TCEA who were getting hands-on with robotics at our Mission Possible Summer Robotics Camp, where they learned all about the value of robotics. Well, this week in our meeting, we're plugging back into the world of robotics. We've got two guest speakers this week. I talked with TCEA Executive Assistant and Contest Coordinator Katie Treat and our Director of Professional Development, Peggy Reimers. And this time, we are going deep into what you need to know to get started with robotics and how to get involved in TCEA's robotics competitions. We've got all the details for you. Plus, Katie and Peggy corrected some common misconceptions about robotics. They'll lay out the skills you and your students need and may already have when it comes to robots. And we're going to find out what it all has to do with bees. That's right, bees. Hey, get out of here. Excuse me. Anyway, that's all coming up in this meeting of the EdTech Club, and it all starts right now. Hey everybody, welcome back and thanks for being a part of the club. I'm Andrew Rausch. So we're back on the topic of robotics and this week we are getting the details, what you need to know to get started. I mean, we're talking price, we're talking kits, we're talking rules, we're talking getting prepared for a season of robotics competition. But first we have to figure out what that competition looks like. So we're going to learn from Peggy, she's the first voice you'll hear, and Katie, the second, about how you can turn a Lego Mindstorms EV3 kit into a competitive robot, or even a bumblebee, or even, well, a lot of things. Just keep listening and you'll find out. Oh, and by the way, a couple of quick notes before we jump in. You may hear a couple of name drops in this episode, so I'll just clarify who those folks are. If you hear Betty Justice, she works at Lego Education North America. She's a Lego expert. And if you hear about Mike Neal, he's a member of the board of TCEA and area director for Area 14. Okay, so let's jump right in and hear what they have to say. When I think robotics competition, I'm thinking robot wars. I'm thinking we build these bots and they fight each other. That's not what's going on here.
Correct. So TCA has two contests. We have the arena contest and we have the inventions contest. It's like comparing apples and oranges. They're very different. And what's cool about it is it meets different student interest. The arena contest consists of about 10 to 15 pages of rules and regulations. You have to build a bot a certain way. You have tasks, six tasks that you can attempt, and you have to figure out in what order you're going to do those.
So it's really what the kids are comfortable with, what their skill level is at the time that they're doing all the work, putting together the order that they're going to be doing it in. It's designed to take in their abilities, you know, into consideration as to what tasks they accomplish. They're not all required. It's whatever they can do, whatever they get the most points for, doing other various tasks like the mystery task and the bill of materials. So, you know, they get those options to increase their score. So there's a variety of ways where they can get points.
Correct. So this year we have our arena contest is called Bees, Bots, and Beyond. And it's centered around the life of a honeybee and how they produce honey. And the student teams get to choose from 5 to 6 tasks that they're going to attempt to complete in 3 different rounds of 2 minutes each. And some of the tasks this year are you have to take the nectar, which are the red checkers, and move them into the 4 frames on our Race for Time mat. Another task might be is that they have to design and create their own little queen bee. And they have to take that and move it into the honey house and place it, not the honey house. They have to move it into the hive frames and place the queen, okay, where the brood is. And they don't want to disturb the brood because they could lose points.
So we're simulating how a honey beehive would work using these bots. So one of these bots is like a
robotic honeybee.
And so you've got this standard mat that everyone uses, and it's in a roughly 4 foot by 4 foot frame.
That's correct.
And then the students have the challenge of building, programming these robots with a certain set of materials, and then attempting to carry out these different functions that a bee might do, like you're saying. So, and we have these... We have little checkers, we have little cups and little items that represent these things that they'll have to move from one specific spot to another, something like that.
Correct. And you can order the equipment kit from TCEA because Katie handles all that shipping and packing. Or in the game manual, we have specifics on what they can purchase. So all the measurements there for the cotton balls and the checkers and the couplers are right there in the game manual.
Yeah, all the pieces are inexpensive. They can buy them from local stores. But if they want to guarantee that they're going to get the exact items that we'll be using at the contest, or a lot of times it's just easier for them to purchase from us because of the, you know, the school district is purchasing and, you know, we're an approved vendor, you know. So a lot of times it's just plain easier to buy from us. But they totally can purchase them from their local stores and assemble the kits themselves. The mats they can only get from us. They can't get from anywhere else. Lego used to sell these mats and then they quit selling them at some point, and they gave us the rights to be able to make them and sell them. And so exclusively that you can only get the mat from us. The price is $55, and it can be purchased from our arena contest page, but that price includes shipping. And so all you need is an account and log in, put it in your cart, check out, and then once the purchase order check or credit card payment is received, then the item will ship. Same goes for the kits, too.
So from a learning standpoint, if, for example, I'm trying to justify having a robotics team, specifically this arena contest, these 2 to 4 students on these teams, what are they doing? What are they getting out of this? What are they building internally?
The best thing I can tell you to answer that, Andrew, is that Mike Neal said it best. It's not just about the robot. I mean, you're building and you're programming and you're trying to win points. But the best thing that he said is the contests allow students the ability to develop debating or discussion skills, which become invaluable in the future. So if they have an issue with how it was judged, then they're going to bring those skills and they're going to talk to the referees. Mm. The other thing is students get a chance to do just-in-time problem solving. Because with that mystery task that they get round 2 and 3, they have to actually go back and as a team decide how they're going to tackle that. And then the other thing is that they experience failure and success in a safe learning environment. And all those skills are so important for our future.
Mm-hmm. So there's not only what might be readily apparent, that there are engineering skills involved. Of course, there are planning skills involved. There's coding skills involved. But on top of that, they have to work as a team to determine how they're going to do this. They have to come to those agreements and take on those roles as needed. And when they're actually in the arena competition, they're dealing with the referee and the referee's interpretation of what they're doing. And they also have to come up with something on the spot. So they really have to know how their robot works and what it can do.
And I've seen this competition. You know, I've been putting on the contest essentially for many years. I think my first one was in 2009. And one thing I've noticed over the years is that this is all abilities. You know, you don't have to be the super smart. You know, in the gifted and talented, you can be anyone. I've sat through training years ago by Betty Justice, and I sat down and I was able to program the robot to do various things. That's the beauty of training. But I mean, if you can train someone as old as I am in a short amount of time, then you can train many to do it, no matter their grade level, no matter their smarts or anything like that. And so it really could reach many more kids if given the opportunity, even those that are losing interest in school, you know. Once they sit down and realize, they might find that they actually like programming. That's just not given the opportunity. And so this, because of the way the software is set up, it can be drag and drop, or it can be actual programming using various languages. So it really is designed for kids of all levels. So it can reach more people, in other words.
And the other half of TCEA robotics contests is this invention category?
The other contest that TCA sponsors is the inventions contest. And what's cool about this is the kids decide what real-world problem do they want to solve with the robot. They get two pages of rules and one rubric. The rubric is divided into five different pieces: research, presentation, construction, programming, and the logbook. What's really cool about the inventions is that the sky's the limit. They are not
restricted.
Yeah, boxed into one brick, two motors. They can use as many bricks as they want. They can use as many parts as they want. I have seen walk into that state contest gym, commodes, swimming pools, garbage dumpsters, greenhouses, brownie mix, you name it. It's just amazing the inventions they come up with.
And I had the privilege to help out with the 2019 state robotics contest, and seeing some of these invention submissions that these teams are putting together, I was really impressed by the range of problems they think to solve. It's you know, there's a lot that sort of you think might make sense in terms of what we can immediately do with robots, right? Search and rescue kinds of things, or certain automating certain processes, agricultural uses and things like that. But some of them are incredibly creative. I remember there was one that was designed to help patients with Alzheimer's disease, like, jog their memories and keep their brains strong. I mean, they're really going out there. And then some of them are almost arriving looking like finished startup businesses. You know, some of them are ready to get on Shark Tank when they walk in with their robot.
Yeah. They have a slick invention.
Yeah.
Down to their, maybe a skit. Some of them have a cheer. I've even seen them break into song.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what's really cool is to see them invent something that will help somebody in their community or maybe a family member.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen an invention once where they invented an invention to help their grandmother remember if and when she took her medicine.
Mm.
Okay, or maybe they had a student in their school that was blind, and they invented a robot to help him get around safely on campus.
Solving real problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of special, because it gives, in terms of that learning process, you know, we know that in both of those contests there's strong elements of social and emotional learning as well. But this almost goes beyond that to another level of, and then how can we use those skills to actually solve a problem?
So maybe what we should do is go over the timeline just a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, registration for the robotics contest will be open November 1st through December 9th at the $50 rate. And then it opens from December 10th through December 20th at the $70 rate. And that's kind of considered the late registration window. So ideally, you'd want to get it in early and make changes as necessary. But then the actual contests for the various areas take place in January, all throughout the month of January. So depending on which area you are from, which corresponds to the Education Service Center, if you aren't already aware of what area. There's a link on our website that'll take you to the area contest dates and locations. And you just scroll through that and see which area you're in, and then it's got the date and the location and contact information for the area director in that area to help you with various contest questions that pertain to the location and the day of. But when it comes to registration questions or contest questions, I can help you with the registration questions, and then the contest questions, you can actually direct those to the community. We have a community where any of our TCA members can go to and join the robotics community group. And then within that group, there are two subgroups, one for arena and one for inventions. And there in those groups, you can post specific questions pertaining to that contest. So the inventions group isn't that talkative. There's not a whole lot of questions because it is so open-ended, but you're welcome to post questions and we will answer them should you have questions. But the arena group, that's the definitely more chatty group. And rightfully so, there are a lot of questions because there's a lot of blurry lines that, you know, you could interpret the challenge differently. And so it's a place where you can go and get those blurry lines kind of cleared up. And so we definitely encourage you to go to that community group, the arena community group, where the contest writer, Kate Herring, she answers questions as well as Peggy and myself, but also from other contest sponsors across the state. We can answer questions, but sometimes it's better to get the answer from those that are doing the exact same thing that you are within the classroom, within the club, with their hands on it with the kids. So a lot of times the answers are best from them. But if it's a clarity kind of thing, it's probably best to get it from Kate. So the community is the best place to get those answers.
Excellent.
I always tell people that we're lucky to live in a state that offers many different contests that meet your needs financially, geographically, and time invested. So for the TCA contest, I think we have one of the best deals out there. Because basically, to get started, you're going to need to buy an EV3 core set, which is about $411. The software comes free, and you can use Java or Robot C or the Lego Mindstorms education. There's a new Scratch app coming out, so you can use that. You'll, of course, have to be a TCA sponsor for $49. The Race for Time mat will cost you $55. You will have to build an arena contest frame, but the directions on how to build that are up on our website. And the contest fee, which is either $50 or $70. And then it costs you about $10 for an equipment kit. And you're good to go.
And both contests have the area contest, which is tied to their ESC. And then do they have to qualify to go to the state contest?
Yes. So first and second place from each division automatically advance to the state contest from each of the areas. And then there are a few wild card slots that are distributed amongst the remaining that qualify, and those qualifications would be the top scorers that didn't place first or second. They get sorted, and then there are a few rules that pertain to, you know, restricting how many from a campus can go. So once that's all sorted, then we divvy up those wildcard slots. So there's a total of 200 teams at the state contest between the two divisions.
That's a big contest.
It is. It's an all-day event.
So what haven't we talked about? I mean, when we think about these contests, I mean, they are a little bit like sporting events. We get to see, I mean, they'll wear matching shirts. They'll have all these shirts made. Maybe they'll have sponsors in their local area as well. They're excited to be there and to finally test these things out. It's fun to be at these contests. But if I'm a teacher and I'm wondering how to get all of this started and it feels a little daunting, what would your advice be?
My advice would be, if you're a sponsor, I would go to an area event and judge, whether it's inventions or arena, because you get the big picture. And then you can take it back to your classroom. You're like, oh, I got this. I've seen it in action. I can do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a lot of times people start off in the arena contest because there's rules and a clear guideline of what the expectations are of the kids. And they can give them the packet and they can, you know, let the kids kind of go crazy with the packet. But what people don't realize is the excitement with inventions. And so anytime I can, I, you know, try to get people to start off in inventions, just because it's a lot more flexible, and they can give the kids more space, more creativity.
I train a lot of teachers, and a lot of them are voluntold that they're going to do robotics, and so they don't really know anything. And I say, you know, that's a good thing, because then your kids have to find out the answers. And you're not just there to give them the answers. They have to actually learn it and go with it.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have for this week's meeting of the EdTech Club. But, of course, we will be back. And in the interim, you can check out TCEA and get all the latest in EdTech news, including robotics, by following us on social media, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram. Just search for TCEA. If you have questions, comments, ideas, concerns about this podcast, you can send it to podcast@tcea.org. And if you like the show, don't forget to like, subscribe, review, and rate. Those things really do help us out. So if you're enjoying it and you want to be a part of the club, go ahead and give us a review and get in touch. When it comes to homework this week, there are a lot of useful links to everything we talked about in this episode in the show notes. You can see that below or in your podcast player or at tcea.org/podcast. And if you want to get straight into that sweet robotics knowledge, you can also go to tcea.org/robotics. There you'll find everything you need to get started. And if you're a real go-getter, you could go for a little bit of extra credit. This week, I left it up to Peggy to tell us about some upcoming robotics events that you should look into if you're interested in getting started.
I will be in the Houston area in October. And I'm working with Region 12 in the Waco area to bring a training in November. I just had one in September. And then, of course, we have a really awesome Mission Possible summer camp in July. And that's 5 whole days of getting your hand on the robot.
So that's it for this week. We need to take a look at this bee problem. Anyway, we'll get that sorted out before next week. But until then, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being a part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.